I've always been shy.
Good morning, how are you?
Fine.
That's not how you're supposed to respond.
Thank you.
What did I do?
Do you read your own paper?
No.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the supervisor meeting, September 13th, 2022. Are there any changes to the agenda?
I have.
Meet with department heads and elected officials. Sarah Doty, auditor's office.
Good morning, just keep them busy as usual. Nothing new to report this time.
Okay, thank you. Colin, IT department.
Just keeping busy like always, always getting some projects and that done. We had a new hire come in yesterday, this is Jesse Miller. I want to introduce him to everybody here and all the department heads. He's a degree graduate of network administration, cybersecurity, and kicking him off pretty good already yesterday, and he came back for the second day, so things are looking up.
It's a good start. Well, this guy won't run off, Colin.
I appreciate it, guys, thank you.
Will he be shadowing Tom?
I have a closed session here at the end of the meeting as well, but other than that, nothing to report.
Okay, thank you, Colin.
Yep.
Rodney Blazner, maintenance.
Good morning, just really busy, keeping Colin busy as well. Making a few mistakes here and there with my computer, but appreciate them guys and their help, so. Other than that, we're just keeping busy.
Okay, thank you. I see Sheriff Lynn Denny come through the doorway, so we'll.
I was getting some budget updates from our budget director, so still a little bit ahead of time, but. Things are going well at the sheriff's office, and we continue to be pretty busy. This coming Monday morning at 9:00, we're gonna start on that, the conversation on the communications in Des Moines County. It's just gonna be, the first hour or so is just gonna be some education on what ISICS is, the Iowa State Interoperability Communications. If you gentlemen have time and want to come to that portion of it, it'd be good education. I'm learning a lot myself. I'm not a radio expert by any means, but they're gonna kind of update a lot of, everybody within the county and the cities has been invited. So if you can make it, come on over and get educated.
Next door?
It's gonna be at the Burlington Police Department in their large training room. Some members from the Department of Public Safety Communications Bureau will be down here, and they'll kind of show what the towers are in place, the infrastructure, what they've learned through the testing in Des Moines County. And then we're gonna do some more testing in some of our critical structures and locations on that day, so. Other than that, our Joe population is up. We have 16 out of county. We're at 92, 93 total population. So we have a pretty high population right now. We do some annual checks on our sex offender registry throughout the year regardless, but we really hit it hard beginning of summer, end of summer as kids are returning to school, and then throughout the year. And some of that has caused that population to go up, but there's some other factors, just being busy in general. So that's about all I have.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate that. Zach James, regional planning?
Yeah, things are going along pretty well. Not too crazy here the last week. Did get in another subdivision submitted the other day. I've got one here actually going to record with somebody after the meeting here, but otherwise things are going pretty smooth.
Okay, well, thank you.
It's going pretty smooth. I see you shave.
Well, Tom gave me enough crap last week.
Well, I'm proud of
you. He takes it to heart. Poor Zach.
Well, Lisa's here, but I'm here for litigation update. We have a closed session.
Okay, thank you. Ken, SEAL Region.
Yeah, good morning. Tomorrow we have our monthly meetings with the SEAL Region, so I'm looking forward to, like, in the stakeholder meeting in the morning and also in the governing board meeting in the afternoon. One of the topics that I see on the agenda is that the state of Iowa is getting a new managed care organization, Molina Healthcare. And so we've had Iowa Total Care and Amerigroup, and now we're gonna have a discussion about this new Molina that's coming in, so I noticed that, and I'm interested to hear more about that. Maybe Ryan, who goes to statewide meetings, might have some more information on that. Otherwise, we got our business that we do each month, so thanks.
Lisa, county attorney.
We're staying busy. We have a couple of our staff out for extended periods, so we're tightening our belts as far as the attorneys, and they're having to learn how to do a few things for themselves. We won't talk about the male-female portion and how that's working. But doing some things that we normally rely on our staff to do. Trent does fine. He's pretty independent. So realizing just how important our support staff is, especially when they're gone for a period of time, and we realize just how much they do and how much we depend on them. So to let them know that they are greatly appreciated. The other support staff members have really stepped up to try to make sure everything gets done and nothing gets missed. And so that's really the extent of what we're dealing with in our office. There's just not enough people right now to try to get everything done in the way we normally do. But again, our remaining support staff is really stepped up to the plate and taken it for the team. And again, we just a kudos to our support staff of just, I want as me and the attorneys to know just how much we appreciate what they do, because it's, we don't realize it till we have to do it for ourselves.
Thanks, Lisa. Janelle, how's the treasurer's office?
Good morning. We're busy just like everyone else. So nothing new to report.
Nothing new. Taxes still coming in?
Oh, yes, they are.
Yeah. Yep. I better get down there and see you then, hadn't I?
You've got time.
Okay, thank you. Terry Johnson, county auditor.
Good morning. We're still working away on elections. We got our ballot proofs, and we were doing some finalizing on that and requested one more set, just check and make sure everybody's name spelled correctly and the right races are on there. And so hopefully we'll get those finalized today. And because next week is the UCAVA, the first day that we have to mail out for UCAVA, that's all of our military and our overseas civilians. And then October the 19th is when everybody gets to start voting in person down here at the courthouse. ArcaSearch, that's doing our digitization. They should be coming within the next week or two to set up and start digitizing all of our books back there. And I had to do some research and find dates and all that. And I did find, we were going through the board minutes and there was a couple of books missing. So I went downstairs trying to find one set of books. It's our June 1849 to December 1860 book, minute book, that I could not find, but I found one for 1835 to 1840. So, you know, you're down there in that dirty basement trying to find all that stuff, but it'll be interesting whenever they finally get a chance to start digitizing, and I think they'll be here for about a month. So, and then everything should be finalized, and I believe up and running, it'll be early, probably the first quarter in 2023, so.
How much office space do they need, or what do they require, just a corner or a whole room?
Well, they were up here looking around, and I believe we're going to put them in the vital records room of the recorders, which is just on the other side of the election office. Rodney has to, of course, remove a few desks that they don't need in there, and they'll squeeze in there, and then they have a compressor that actually squeezes the books so that they can get a good... You'll have to come down so you can watch. It's interesting. So so that they can get all of the good views of all the pages and everything. So they'll be setting up in the vital records room of the recorder's office.
Thanks, Jerry.
So, and come on down for a demonstration when they get here.
That'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm. So, and that is it, I believe.
Thank you. Hey, we got time to listen to Carter now. Okay, secondary roads, Brian Carter.
Either way.
He never wavers, though. I love it. You're going to get it no matter what.
Unwavering.
I'll make you pay.
He's going to make it longer now, Jerry.
Things are going good. Finally got some rain. Depending on where you're at, anywhere from a couple inches around Burlington to a little under an inch when you go north, but still is moisture. So got a good day of blading yesterday. Unfortunately, that rain disappeared pretty fast. So back to reality today. But 115, just north of Burlington. It's coming along good. They're probably a little over half done, but they still got work to do. So that's going. Pleasant Grove did open officially yesterday, although I think traffic was using it over the weekend. But so that'd be west of Beaverdale. That's been closed for about a month, and that is open and completed. And a lot of stuff still working on in the office, getting ready for this winter and next year's projects. So a lot of stuff going on, and of course the crews are still out at this point also. Still rocking, still doing a little bit of pinching and culverts, so.
I got a question for you then. Pinching on that, you do some of that with just a blade too, right?
Well, when we do what I call a pinch, we basically disc both sides of the road
yeah.
a couple times. We bring all that in, tear it up pretty good, crown it, and then we rock two different layers through there. We lay one layer of rock and we try to wait till we get some moisture to let it really pack in and stuff like that, and then we'll lay another solid layer of rock over top of it. I mean, that's a what I would call more of a full pinch for us. I mean, especially in the springtime, we have some blade guys that are a little, I mean, they're all decent, but the better guys will go ahead and pull their shoulders and go ahead, and it's not really a pinch, it's just making sure you've got your drainage and stuff done right. But I guess I don't know if I'm answering your question.
Well, yeah, they put the blade down like on Jimtown Road, where I'm talking about.
Okay.
They put the blade down on both sides, and then the road just...
Yeah, I mean, it's got a lot of crown when we're done.
A lot of crown, yeah.
Yeah, a whole
it's
lot of crown.
It's got more crown than it does when you're ditching, doesn't it?
Well, we just do a ditching project. You don't normally end up picking up any more crown in a road. Sometimes yeah. it'll be a little narrower. Most of our ditching jobs will narrow the road a little bit if it's one of our busier, wider roads like Beaverdale, like Irish. But if we pinch, what you typically will see, especially if we're not ditching with it, is that by the time we're done disking and reshaping, the slope of the road kind of goes ahead and tapers into the slope of the foreslope of the ditch. Kind of see a smooth, it just came, that will change about a year into it. Once the grass grows up and the road hunkers down, there will actually be a change, but it'll look like basically a straight grade from there down into the ditch in most situations. So,
I'd never seen this before. I'd seen your, you know, when they ditch, but I've never seen where they bladed. So.
Oh, yeah, yep. Well, it's
that was new to me. To
get that crown. And to help that drainage, you use the material you have on
yeah.
site. And that's why we disc it, so we don't have all the clods of grass mixed into the whole mess, because we've done that in the past, and that just makes for a mess. So, yeah, we were talking about that first thing this morning. And a good point was made first thing this morning. This is the first rain we've had, first measurable rain we've had in as long as I can remember, actually. And those pinch projects, they need a couple rains. I mean, those first couple rains, if you drove it or were near it when we were doing it, and you think about all that material you're bringing in, I mean, you are mixing in kind of some dirt and grass stuff with the new rock you're putting in, and you've got the old rock still there. But it needs some moisture to truly start to really tie together, I guess, or tie down. So that first rain or two, it will be softer. There's no question about it. We were talking about the edge being a little soft. And there's some truth to that, because we just haven't had the moisture. So really it's just been rock and powder moving around and everything else. So that's one of the reasons we hold off on our second layer of rock, is to hopefully get some moisture, let the traffic kind of do the work. I mean, we could go buy a roller and everything and a water truck, but then there's one or two more bodies to make the whole operation work. So so that's in their accounts to do that too. But so yeah, that rain kind of helps really tie everything together. But the first stretch of time, it will definitely be a little softer, especially on that outer edge.
Yeah.
So yeah, Yeah, what you're seeing, Jimtown North of 34.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen it done like that before. You always took it, you know, out on a road tour and mm-hmm. showed us how they were ditching it. And this here was a little bit different, so I
yep. maybe. And if you go Jimtown South 34, you'll see, I mean, that's a great example. If you want to see the how it ages and,
yeah.
and how it is after a little bit of time, you go south of 34, and that was done, what, 2 years ago?
Done the same way this was.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you can really get a perspective of here's what it looks like with some age on it.
Yeah.
Here's what it looks like fresh, and it's a big difference. It's people kind of grumble, and they slow down, and they don't like to meet people and stuff like that, but for a poor man's way to improve the road and as cost effective as possible, it does work. It just takes a little time to heal up.
Well, I'm not grumbling about it. I just want to know.
It's a legitimate question, and I'd rather explain it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, if anybody goes out to Jimtown, it's actually a great spot because you can go south 34 and see what it looks like a couple years old, and you go north and see what it's brand new because
yeah.
that would be the first rain that's seen also.
Kind of like going by Case Proving Ground. That road we did out there.
Yeah.
People grumbled about it and told me a year later, boy, that's really nice.
So, yeah, it just,
yeah.
it does take some time and, yeah, so, yep, that's what that was north of there. I think we did, I want to say, I don't know if it's 3/4 mile, mile and a half. We've done like 8 or 10 different road segments
yeah.
this year and we're not quite done. We have a couple more we want to get knocked out. We're going to have almost 10 miles under our belt when we're done this year, which is a good improvement.
Okay, thanks, Brian. Appreciate that. Anybody have any correspondence? I have none here. I don't have any.
I do not.
From Dan with ads. He's got some money available, and he's wanting to use that. He's wanting to have some conversation with Salem City Burlington, but he wants to put in a sharps box. I don't know if anybody else has heard about that, but for people that are using needles in Des Moines County, so I'm going to have, I'll probably be having him come down or something later.
Okay. Move on to discussion vote. We have a public hearing for the amended ordinance number 31, area service class C roads.
Motion to open the public hearing.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brooker?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Just real quick on this, I mean, I think we've beat this horse pretty thoroughly over the last month or two, but just for public input side of it or whatever it is, information side, the biggest part of this was the old the old ordinance or the original, the current ordinance, whatever you want to call it, basically required, the language required a 100% of the adjacent landowners to sign a petition for a sea level to be considered, not approved, keep in mind, but considered by the Board of Supervisors. We had a group of landowners that obviously they have one particular road in mind, but the first request that was required for that to be able to happen with some flexibility for this was for them to request that the board consider modifying the ordinance, I guess I'll call it, to allow for a petition to come to the board without 100% of the adjacent landowner signatures. We did get in touch with Trent. Thank you to Lisa for letting Trent help us out on that. And he basically alluded to the fact that even he felt that the old ordinance kind of contradicted itself. In no way am I going to try to summarize or claim to understand where he was going with all that. He's the attorney and I am most certainly not. So I think in the end, it kind of justified what we were doing anyway, I guess is the point. So really, there is still a petition required in this current language. It just took out the language requiring the, whatever the language was, 100% or all of the adjacent landowners or some language. It flexes that to where the petition can be submitted without that requirement. So I think it doesn't change the end result. The board still has to listen to the public and to the folks interested and make a decision. It just allows it to be considered. And I think that's probably a good thing. So that's just kind of a summary of what's changing here. Beyond that, the ordinance really isn't changing much, if at all.
Right, it was circular before, so at the top of the, like, and I can't remember the numbers, and about the third sentence down, it had that 100%, that 100% petition signed requirement, and then you read on, you know, number one rule of statutory interpretation, read on, then you read on and you get to the very last page of it, and it still retained all authority for the board to listen and, you know, have here. And so it was circular, and it kind of within the same ordinance, it took your legal authority away and gave it back to you all at the same time. So yeah, this is much cleaner this way. And it has a petition there, so anybody wanting to do it is, you know, can have a petition brought before you for review, so that way you know that they've asked people around, but it's not a requirement for, it's not a threshold requirement for consideration. Yeah.
Thanks, Grant.
Yeah.
Anybody have anything to say, anybody else on it?
Motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yep.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Motion to approve the amendment to ordinance number 31.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
And I think this is similar to other ordinances. I think next time they can waive the third, can't they? So you'll have this again next week, and then you can run through if you want to. I've had no comments or questions or anything at the office about this, so.
And I haven't received anything, so.
We have a resolution, number 2022-61, ordinance 30, funds for the Great River Housing Trust Fund. Resolution, I'll read this to you. Resolution authorizing Des Moines County to financially support the Great River Housing Trust Fund for fiscal year of 2024. Whereas that said Des Moines County is a duly recognized governing body acting under the law of the state of Iowa, and whereas that said Des Moines County is assisting the regional development activity to sustain a viable housing program for the entire region, and whereas Des Moines County is a member of the Great River Housing Trust Fund, regional housing nonprofit corporation that assists low and moderate income households in the region, and whereas Des Moines County residents and businesses have benefited economically through sustained taxes and supply purchasing through the Great River Housing Trust Fund. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the members of the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, the Des Moines County will contribute $12,500 cash match to the Great River Housing Trust Fund for the fiscal year 2024, thus benefiting low, moderate income in the county and the region.
Motion to approve.
Second. And I would add that this is, the board agreed with this and budgeted for this during the budget hearings about 6 months ago.
We've got we manage the Housing Trust Fund at the Planning Commission. It's a 501c3 nonprofit, but we're contracted to manage with them. I am not the primary operator of that, but since I'm typically here, I offered to come and just talk about it a little bit. So Sarah in our office had a little presentation here that I was trying to thumb through prior to the meeting here when you called on me on the department updates. But I'll try and go through some of those real quick. But been in existence since 2011, and has given out quite a bit of money over that time period. So through these grants that this fund matches, goes through the Iowa Finance Authority, that's that $3,731,000. And then part of the contribution, that $12,500, that's that local match over that, I guess it would be 11-year period, the $890,000. And then we utilize that to leverage some other funding programs. There's like a Federal Home Loan Bank, CDBG, trying to think of the other program, Home. So we utilize these funds then to leverage some additional housing programs. So in total over that 2011, we've been able to allocate over $7 million to the region for housing programs. So if you can go to the next. So this will be the grant that we'll be applying for that's due in October. So it'll be a little over $400,000 and then the $90,000 match. So that $12,000 you're committing is just a part of the match that we get that from some of the other counties, a couple other cities contribute, and then we have a golf outing here at the end of the month that we raise money for, and that'll go to that. And actually, I know Rodney and Ken and a few other folks here playing that every year. So thanks to you guys for coming out and supporting that. So that'll be the, what we're applying for here this year in total, will be a little over $500,000. So what they do with the Housing Trust Fund, we do down payment assistance. So somebody's trying to be like a first-time home buyer, help them buy a home. We do owner-occupied rehab, so somebody who owns a home. It's always necessary repairs like a roof, siding, windows, furnace, things like that. We do some development project financing, so a private developer might be looking to fix up a couple homes, or like a project in Wapello doing a couple upper-story housing projects, a few units. So we'll contribute for something like that as long as they meet some of the requirements for income levels for the program, I guess then an upper-story conversion. Down payment assistance. This is all the details on that. I'm not going to get into that, but because I don't know all these details, this is where we really need Sarah to be here. But these are the specifics on the down payment assistance. You can see the different income levels you have to meet. So if you're a one-person household, two-person, those are the incomes that you have to be eligible for the program. If you're one person, you have to make $52,000 or less, and so on. But yeah, that's the program there, $7,500 for down payment and towards closing costs. Owner-occupied rehab, $10,000 to $15,000 per project. And then this is part of us is managing it too. We also do the bidding. So we'll go visit the house, see what repairs are needed. We'll put together a cost estimate and then bid it out to contractors. And then we come back and we make sure that they do the work to the level that they're supposed to, and the, what we bid the project to be, make sure they're actually doing the work that they need to. And again, those are the income levels that you have to meet for those. Here's just a couple projects. This is on Central Avenue here, new siding, new porches. Is right by Bracewell Stadium over there on Central Avenue, if you're familiar with that. You'll see the before and after pictures. 1412 Valley, new windows, new roof. So these are, again, that's what I was saying, these are kind of like critical improvements for homes. These are the types of things you'll see. And we'll keep going here. It's on South 13th Street. That one's a pretty drastic transformation. And I mean, part of this is helping people fix up their house, but it's also just about fixing up neighborhoods and making things better, hopefully encouraging other people to enhance their homes as well. So upper story conversion, those are the details of the program. I'm not gonna get into specifics. You get up to $100,000, $25,000 per unit. The one project I'm familiar with is in Wapello. Again, you gotta meet certain income guidelines and so on. You can go to the next slide. This is a building in Keokuk. You can see some of the difference on the storefront and the windows. And then I think the next slide has some interior shots. Yeah, so 2 1 bedroom units, 900 square feet. So drastically improving, again, not just single family homes, owner occupied homes, not just helping people get into their homes with down payment, but also helping fix up some older buildings. So. And then this is development assistance. This is where a private developer could come and apply. And this is very similar to the upper story. You get to $25,000 per project. Again, you have to meet certain income guidelines. You can do new construction, you can do rehab. And I think we've got an example on the next page. $25,000 for 1,100 square foot home on a slab foundation. That's here on South 15th Street. And then again, you have to meet a certain, it's got to be sold to somebody with 80% of the income limits that were listed on the page before. So I just wanted to go over that real quick, just so you kind of see some of the types of things that the funding goes to and how it supports projects in Southeast Iowa.
That's interesting.
And if you have specific questions, I'll guide you to Sarah or Mike, because they do this on a day-to-day basis. So I just kind of know enough to be able to explain it at a small level. But appreciate the support. It's been great for the region, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, I already firsted it. Tom seconded.
I haven't asked yet.
You waited.
Shane Campbell.
I interrupted.
Aye.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
And Jim Carrey.
Yes. Center, one, Wesley Ward, correctional officer, full-time, a new hire. Yearly salary is $41,362.40.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. Collected August 2022 and Vietnam Affairs report for August 2022. These reports will be on file in the auditor's office for your viewing at your discretion. We have minutes for the regular meeting. September 6th, 2022.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes. We have future agenda items. Or other business first. Other business? Do you have any other business?
I think that ads was kind of other business, but already.
I do not.
Yeah, I do not. Then we have future agenda items. Phil, we've got you coming up whenever Jared gets back.
Yeah, he'll be back next week. I'm thinking. And Trent and I actually met about it too the other day a little bit and talked over a few things. But I think maybe it's next week, the 20th. Maybe the 27th.
Anything else?
And that's for the wind and solar?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say I can email you, but
okay.
You just make a note of it.
Yeah.
Committee reports.
I have none.
I had a DCAP board meeting. We've got a mental health and a suicide deal coming up. That's about it.
I had a conservation meeting. I had a work session that I attended to look at some of the FEMA, excuse me, FEMA my house down along the river, and I missed a meeting they had afterwards. I got stung by a wasp on my ear, and
ooh.
I ended up with cauliflower, so made me sick, so I took off. So
ouch.
I was going to turn that into work as comp, but I didn't get better. That's all I had.
Did he contact you, Lisa, to check if you said that was okay?
A conservation probably wouldn't even let you kill the wasp.
No. You know, you wouldn't think your ear would be that tender, but man, he got me right there. It was tender. Okay, we have public input. Anybody from the public have anything they want to talk about, they call in at 319-753-8203, extension 4. 319-753-8203, extension 4, or email board@dmcounty.com. That would be board@dmcounty.com. We'll give you 2 minutes to do that. Does anybody in here have anything to say?
I'll put out there again that we're, our application process is still open for our administrative assistants and the sheriff's office. And we also posted again for the position of county sheriff. That's anticipated retirements at the first of the year, so we'll just begin in that process to get those positions filled and get a civil service list put together. So we're taking applications through October 6th or 7th, that Friday. And we're going to be testing on the 22nd is the plan right now, so. You know any good applicants that are interested in either position, send them our way.
Does deputy sheriff make you immune to speeding tickets?
What's that?
Does deputy sheriff make you immune to speeding tickets?
It does not.
Yeah, miss you, Colin.
Especially on the cameras. They send those directly to our office, but they get to pay those individually.
I sure wish they had to keep their cameras illegal.
You just have to slow down when you go through Cedar Rapids.
I did, clearly not soon enough.
Yeah, and it's not even you driving, but it's your vehicle, that's the worst.
Yeah, I got one for my kid, also.
Are Muscatine still in operation? I see the cameras are still up. Are they still in operation? Okay.
Yes.
Prairie City has them out too.
The one outside of Prairie City has been popular.
Has it?
Be careful.
It's a revenue generator for that little town that they get out there to.
Well, they have to be able to show an actual safety interest and an actual improvement in safety to be able to put it in and then to be able to maintain them. So a lot of them that were just there that were specifically generating revenue, they had to be pulled unless they could point to traffic data that was.
That one seems like it might be on the fringe of being pulled.
Yeah. I got one of them one day up in Muscatine. Found out I wasn't driving the car that day. My son-in-law had the car.
Yeah.
You ask him to slow down next time and give him the thing. The one thing I will say is they slow traffic down. They're very successful in that. That's the goal, is to create safer roads and keep people slowed down. And when people become aware of them, they do slow down.
You don't speed, you don't have to worry about those things.
Exactly.
Which I'm always scared to death, man. I'm worried, but. Yeah, they got me in Muscatine too, rascals.
Before they developed all the fancy cameras down on Highway 54 going down to the Ozarks in Missouri, right under an overpass, they would have an empty squad car sit there. I don't know if there was a manned squad car anywhere around, but you could just see simultaneously everybody would break when they would see it.
That's actually pretty smart. It's adding the motor's bad, just set it there. That's pretty funny.
West Burlington's got one. Looks like a squad car sitting out there. Have you seen that?
I think that's by design. I think that's by design also.
That's by design too.
Small towns are pretty famous for that, actually.
You see the
KR 2 minutes is up.
When they've got those, that the downside is that traffic could be rolling along, and if there's a local in front of you, he knows that 50 yards away is the camera, and he stands on the brakes.
Yeah. If you see everybody else slowing down,
there's a sign. That's right. Somebody knows something.
No. Something's going on here.
Yeah. Okay, our 2 minutes is up, so we need a motion to go into closed session.
I move that we go into closed session to discuss pending litigation in accordance with Iowa Code Section 21.5.
Second. Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Aye.
Tom Brooker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah.